It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Go Birds Pod, a Radio.com podcast about your beloved birds.
Oh, what's going on, Philadelphia? Hello, everybody. The first round selection has been made. The Eagles traded up. They gave up a fourth. They gave up a sixth. And they potentially have their future replacement for Jason Peters. Elliot Shore Parks on the phone as we just left the link. And we talked for 6 hours and we felt like talking for about 20 more minutes. What's going on, Elliot?
So shout out to you for that glorious what's going on in Philadelphia after talking for, like you said, basically 6 hours and it's almost midnight. So you always bring the heat. I appreciate
it. Yeah, of course. And how this draft has started so far in the first round. Shout out to the Giants for doing something terrible and awful. And of course, if you guys don't know by now, the solo podcast is around. The Barchard Show will be live tomorrow. I've got a lot of takes on kind of what happened around the NFC East, and we'll certainly get into that. But I thought the board fell pretty interestingly enough in the same way that me and James said on the preview pod. Like I had thought that there was going to be offensive linemen to go and grab down there because, you know, the D tackles and the D ends were going to go pretty quickly, and the Raiders do some silly things, and you kind of end up in this spot. I definitely want to get to Andre, but you had even said in the middle of our broadcast that the Eagles were definitely trying to at least get up to trade with the Dolphins to go take Wilkins, which would have been, an outstanding move if they would have got it done. It looks like they couldn't
clear,
make it.
I didn't say they were trying to do it with the Dolphins. I just said they're trying to do it
in general. Yes. Sorry to put words in your mouth. Yes.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I just want that out there.
I was just putting two and two together.
They tried to go up, and they ultimately ended up trading up for Dillard. And it doesn't surprise me they tried to trade up. I mean, Christian Wilkins is a top 10 talent in this draft by almost any board. The Eagles had Andre Dillard as a top 10 talent on their board. I think other teams might have him close. I don't know how many people would have him in the top 10, but not surprising how he was aggressive. They wanted to leave the first round of this draft with an elite lineman. They ended up with one on the offensive line.
Yeah, and that is, is something that it might shock. And whatever, like people think it's kind of boring when it's offensive lineman. And my initial takeaway with Andre's game is you're not going to be bored by this. And they have a little bit of a cushion here too with Jason being in there. There are a lot of people, and this is the thing too is, people had him all over the place. I know that people had him at top 15. People had him kind of going here. A lot of that is because, you know, he isn't the greatest run blocker in the world. He just isn't. But his pass sets and his athletic ability, he runs a 4.92. I mean, this is everything that profiles Stoutland. This is everything that has profiled the trenches for a long time. And you're going to bet again on this athleticism, and Howie Roseman's even remarked, like, it's just uncanny how, you know, athletic this guy is. And certainly that's all well and good, but it really comes down to the bones of this thing where there is some work to be done, even though that I think he can get there. I think this is a fantastic pick, and you had to get ahead of the Houston Texans because they are desperate, absolutely desperate, to help Deshaun Watson in any way. But I know you have some reservations about it, Elliot, and what are some of those reservations?
Okay, so let me start with this. I'm still processing the pick. So by tomorrow at this point, I could feel differently, just to put that out there.
Okay.
And I understand the logic of the pick. I get the Jason Peters, is it probably in his last year? I get that they need youth along the offensive line. I get that left tackle is a super important position. And by their board, they thought Andre Dillard was an elite prospect. So I completely understand all of that. But there's just something about the pick. I just don't love it. Like, I can't say I don't like it because I get the logic. Sometimes the Eagles make moves and I don't see the logic behind it. So I disagree with it. I see the logic this time. It's just not the decision I would have made. I would have taken Montez Sweat. I would have taken Cody Ford. And, you know, maybe you know the answer to this question. Like, Andre Dillard can't play guard, right? He's essentially just a tackle.
I think he could play guard. I have a theory on this anyway, where if you're a tackle, you can play guard. If not all guards can play tackles. If you're a guard, you can play center. And if you're a center, you can play guard. Like, it kind of shoots on down there. So if for some reason, like, he is really, really struggling in there, and again, I don't, it's very rare that tackles can't play guard. I would almost say that Andre is not suited the best for that, only because he lacks the power to do so, you know, especially to get in there in the trenches and kind of have that. That's another thing where it's like the point of attack is a little loose. I don't want to say finesse because it's offensive tackle. That's just impossible to be there. But let me go through
some players.
Sure, go ahead.
You like Andre Dillard better than Cody Ford.
I like Cody Ford better than Andre Dillard. I mean,
you would have taken Cody Ford.
I would have taken Cody Ford there, but I don't think that this is a bad pick. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, I don't think it's egregious to take Dillard over over Cody Ford. I would have taken Cody Ford. What about Montez Sweat?
I'm up in the air. I'm up in the air. And I know that they need pass rushing ability, and obviously just before we actually went on air and started talking about, you know, what could possibly happen with the Eagles during the draft, Chris Long comes out and tells Zach Berman, I believe, that if correct me if I'm wrong on that, but
Him and McClain, yep.
That, you know, hey, I'm just basically saying, like, I don't really plan on coming back, which is, again, another thing we talked about on the Barger Show. And I don't think that played into it, whether, you know, to take Montez Sweat or not. But if you take Montez Sweat, you also lose Chris Long. You know, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I'm not
saying that should deter you from taking another guy that's going on there. I personally think that offensive line was a much bigger need anyway. You know, it was a huge, huge need. And they were just kind of playing their board, it looks like, here as well. You know, and for whatever it's worth, the Montez Sweat heart palpitations or whatever it was, you know, it came out that, you know, it was misdiagnosed or whatever. Washington ends up taking him at 26. I feel that, you know, I'm not going to, whatever Dan Snyder wants to do makes me always feel a little better about passing up on a guy like Montez Sweat. I really liked him. I know you did.
Yeah, I think that's a steal.
Yeah.
26.
But they desperately need to protect Carson Wentz. And if Jason Peters goes down, just like you said, I mean, we can believe in Jordan Mailata as much as we want to, but clearly he's going to need a little more time. Big V stinks. He's not a starter. It's the most glaring need possible. And, you know, that's where I say, okay, I like that pick. Because I honestly didn't believe that Andre was going to make it down this far either. So that was the thing that surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with all that. The one thing you mentioned was Jordan Mailata needs a little more time. Well, good news, Jordan. You got lots of time because you got years worth. Because, look, at this point, I mean, Lane Johnson, again, what's he entering? His, let's see, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. His sixth year, seventh year?
So, somewhere around there, yeah.
And he's one more failed test away from, I believe, a year-long.
Yeah, but that's so, whatever. Yeah.
No, but look, I guess my point I'm making is, like, Lane Johnson isn't in his second year. So I could I can see the whole, like, maybe in 3 years you want to replace Lane thing. But if everything goes to plan, Jordan Mailata will not be a starter on this football team for 5-6 years.
I'm going to completely disagree with you because I thought about this on the ride over.
I'm really interested to hear this. I've no idea how you're going to end up with him as a starter.
I mean, if we are talking about trying to mold an offensive lineman in general, you're always going to shoot because of his athleticism the same way. And it's different because he's never played the position. Whatever, we know the story.
Right.
I think that Jordan Mailata, to me, can play guard. Absolutely can play guard. So I would actually like to see him take snaps in there because he's got the same get off, the ability, and he can pull like a motherfucker. So, you know, if Andre ends up working out the way, you know, a lot of scouts and whatever our eyes tell us, and it'll be interesting to really see him dig in at OTAs and training camp. I think there is a great possibility that you could develop Jordan Mailata into a guard. And just like you had told me right before we started, like you can, guards are probably the most replaceable thing that you can find on the offensive line, or at least the easier thing to find there. Jordan Mailata, just use his athleticism and let him play guard. That was my first thought as soon as this pick came across. I go, okay, maybe we'll see the transition over there. I'm sure they won't just completely give up on tackle, but in 2 years, if he feels like he doesn't really have this thing down, I could easily see them trying to slide them into the guard position.
It's an interesting theory. I'm not going to lie. It's way better than the one I expected.
You surprised I have a good take for once? That's nice. Yeah.
No, it's just I didn't think of it. It's a good take. Yeah, I mean, maybe move him into guard, but I guess my point still stands that the Jordan Mailata as a long-term tackle experiment,
it might be over.
Going to have to go wrong for that to now take place. Now, I'll also say, the idea that Jordan Mailata was going to be the long-term tackle starting next year was also always a little foolish. Like, I have a ton of respect for Brian Baldinger and Ross Tucker. Like, don't get me wrong. They are probably two of the, you know, top five people I respect most in terms of national analysts. So I'm not saying they overreacted, but none of us have seen Jordan Mailata play for a year, right? We saw him in the preseason. Yep. No one gets to watch him at practice. So we have no idea how he's developed. We have no idea now we do kind of know. The Eagles clearly don't view him as a long-term tackle because Dillard's their long-term tackle.
Well, not at left tackle. Just like you said, I mean, you could develop him into a backup and then eventually successor to Lane Johnson if you really needed to.
True, but that's pretty far down the road. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks Lane is leaving in the next 3 years, right?
No, but I'm just saying, for all the things that you just said, what if he gets busted again? What if, you know, he gets injured, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Right.
I'm just saying, keep it in your back pocket.
And that's one of the reasons that ultimately, when I first heard the pick, my initial instinct was just not crazy about it. But again, I can see the logic. If you can add what they believe is an elite left tackle prospect, you add that prospect over Hollywood Brown. You add it over Josh Jacobs. Now, I would argue, though, that an elite defensive lineman is equally as, you know, valuable to a roster. So I liked Montez Sweat a lot. Now, we'll see who ends up being the better of those two picks. And we won't probably find out with Dillard for a year. You know, at this point, maybe they trade Vitae, but, you know, do they put, like, let's say Jason Peters gets hurt in Game 4. Like, do they put him in right away? I mean, I'm not trying to compare it to developing a quarterback, but I do think there's something to be said for not throwing a rookie out there just because Jason Peters is hurt. I think you put him out there once you feel he's ready. So, you know, there's that aspect of it in terms of developing him this year.
So you're saying it might actually slow him down if he's not in there because of Jason Peters? Just want to make sure I heard that right.
No, I'm saying if you... All right, so he'll come to camp, he'll be in training camp, he'll play in the preseason. If Jason Peters gets hurt in Week 4, I would only put Dillard out there if you feel he's ready. Otherwise, put Vitae out there.
There. Got you now.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't put him out there on an island just because Peters is hurt. So I understand there's the option that he could play this year because Peters could get hurt, right? I mean,
yes,
he
absolutely.
Did not line up last year. I just wouldn't put Dillard out there until he's ready.
Yeah, and I slightly disagree on that because, like, there's no others have speculated this too. I don't suspect that Big V's back. You know, this is, you make it kind of expendable, and, like, you know, the comments from last year, and to be honest with you, everybody would be fine with it. I mean, it's probably going to be a move that's,
I guess, I mean,
towards
I think
the end of training camp.
Vitae is not a starting left tackle. He's not a high quality starting
but
left
your,
tackle.
But like a third left tackle at that point, you know, if you're going in succession of Peters and, you know, and then Dillard and then him, I mean, I think right. that's fair to do.
But I think there's also an argument to be made that at least for next year, Vaitai is a better option than Mailata
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah.
Right. So I could see the logic, and if you don't want to put Dillard out there, look, it wouldn't shock me if they traded Vaitai. I just think that Vaitai still has some value on this roster. Just as a guy that's been in the offense, you can go out there and he'll have plays where he looks really bad, but over six or seven games, he's going to be, you know, I don't want to say quality, but he's going to be passable at left tackle.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I don't think you'd get a ton for him. So, you know, I mean, what do you think you would get for him? A six, maybe?
No, I don't know. Just whatever. They could cut him, honestly, at this point, and
well,
they can move on from
him. My point. I would carry him in through camp. I would.
And again, it just depends on Dillard, and it depends on Mailata, and then if they feel comfortable with both of that, then I think that's fine to move on from, or at least definitely not a lock to make this roster, in my opinion.
Oh, without question, not a lock.
But this is the thing I know about Andre, and again, I didn't look at a ton of tape because I honestly believed that there was no chance that he could slide all the way down here. I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I of the games that I did see, and I maybe watched two or three. At least if I remember correctly, his scheme was not based on a lot of power running game and not even a lot of zone, not even a lot of, like, he wasn't asked to do a lot when it came to the run blocking part of it. So I know that Doug had made some comments, at least on that, of something about that's what Stoutland's for. And he kind of go,
right.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't know the full context there, but that quote alone is not yeah. super promising.
It's not great. And honestly, that's really not why you make this selection, where he does win a lot. And again, there's still plenty of technique to work on, just like every other prospect. And it doesn't mean that you should be scared about it. He has got incredible balance and incredible speed. Like, he does not look like he gets frazzled at all. Even when you clearly see he's getting beat in the passing game, like, it is, he does not get scared. It's not like, oh my God, I have to grab your jersey and I have to go. He just kind of tries to find a way to maneuver either passively or aggressively, you know, kind of move that. So that is a good sign coming in, because Doug likes to throw the football. Carson Wentz likes to throw the football, and so on and so forth. I am really curious, and generally curious, how they are going to use his speed and his athleticism in the running game. Because if you can find that next guy that is there, that is Jason Peters like, and there's only one Jason Peters. So, oh my God. And we have to get somebody in here. And I know that I don't think he's got any headphones, but I'll try and flip this around. Jack Fritz has Hello. Joined us in studio here, Elliot. And, so Andre Dillard, quick name test.
Superstar.
That's what I'm talking about. See?
Superstar.
Superstar. That's all. yeah, because it is. It is because it's a perfect offensive line name, right? Like, that's your theory behind all
guys
that.
Guy's a road grader. If I could, Andre Dillard is an absolute road grader. Superstar.
Superstar, as we just talked Listen, about not being great in the run blocking
I would
game,
just but. Like to thank the mush gods for Daniel Jones. What a disaster pick. Thank you for your time.
Yes.
Where are you at with that name?
Where were you at with Daniel Jones's name?
Horrible.
Yeah, horrible, right?
Daniel doesn't work. That's just a fact.
If it was Dan Jones, it would be different?
Way better.
Yeah.
He should change his name.
Just like Mitch and Mitchell, right?
Yeah. Now, Mitch Trubisky could have been good if he stayed at Mitch. As soon as he went Mitchell, I was out.
Yeah. That is Jack Fritz. You can catch him on High Hopes every evening on WIP with Joe Gillian. Of course, go listen to the latest Counterpoint, which he just dropped into the feed there. So that said, and I know we'll probably have some differing opinions, you know, moving forward. I'm curious of everybody's reaction. Love to hear from you at GoBirdsPod, at GoBirdsPod at gmail.com, at LA Shore Parks, at John Barcher on the Twitter.com as well. Just looking ahead to tomorrow, and of course we'll be recording then too. What are you expecting from now that the board has kind of fallen out? A lot of wide receivers on the board, some really good pass rushers that are still on the board. Do you think they can just kind of stick with, you know, wide receiver pass rusher here, or where do you think they go?
I think safety is going to be a priority. I believe only two were taken, right?
I believe that's correct.
One out of Maryland, and I thought I saw Deontay got taken out of Alabama. So only two taken there. I would think safety would be something they would prioritize. 53 and 57. So you know, they'll pick basically back-to-back. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I think, is an option there. You mentioned receiver. I believe only Hollywood Brown ended up being taken in the first round, right?
I believe so, yes. And I, so I didn't see where he went.
A lot of options there. Paris Campbell out of Ohio State's a guy I think they could look at. And pass rusher, again, like, Howie, and you know what's so funny? Like, I don't know why we fall for this. Howie Roseman says the running back draft in 2017 is going to be historic. He drafts one in the fifth round. He says this defensive line draft is going to be historic. He has an offensive lineman with his first pick, and we'll see what he does tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, look, I would think defensive line, once again, will be a priority.
Listen, all I'm saying is after round one of the draft, Cody Ford is still on the board. I don't mind if you want to double dip at offensive line. I really don't. If you want to go ahead and put that in there, let's go and do it. Rocky Sin still on the board. Our boy
yep,
from Temple.
Like that.
I'm totally fine though. Greedy Williams still on the board. Byron Murphy still on the board. I agree with you on the corners. Like that's something that you could look at there too. And again, I think it's between that if Cody is reachable, and then there's my boy AJ Brown. DK Metcalf, I know we're all over the place with that. One thing is for sure, they are not taking a running back. Just not going to happen, guys. And I'm sorry, and I know everybody wants Miles Sanders and everybody wants all these different people. I just don't think it's going to happen. So could be wrong. Obviously, it's just predictions, and you know, we're never wrong about predictions. But
well, should, I'm certainly not. Yeah, I can tell you that.
Should be a very, very interesting day two. Elliot Shore Parks, I love you, buddy. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow for sure, right?
All right, talk to you guys tomorrow. Yeah, I think it's gonna be exciting day two. I'm excited to see what they actually do.
No matter what happens, the Giants did very bad things, and just be happy with that. Oh, my God, and I almost forgot. You can come watch the draft with us because we're going to be at Chickie and Pete's tomorrow in South Philly. We'll be down there at 6 o'clock. We just want to hang out, honestly. We want to meet you guys, drink some beers, get some crab fries. Taste the most delicious underrated pizza in Philadelphia, by the way, because it's really, really good. So come hang out 6 o'clock and then be part of the podcast as well. We will give our takes. We'll get in. We'll get out. We'll have a lot of fun. But we really do want to meet up with you guys. And we do want to do a ton more meetups just to hang out and drink some beers, you know, talk birds and the rest. So once again, that's Chickie and Pete's in South Philly tomorrow night starting at 6 o'clock. Hey, we'll bring some Go Birds t-shirts, too, if you want to come out. We'll have some of those with us. So for Elliot Shore Parks, I am John Barchard. This has been the Go Birds Podcast right here on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP. We'll see you guys.